White and Blurry.
He's also informed by the need to save costs, reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this abysmal, if Parliament does not write this money.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is a getting the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Aroho Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
And they had Shakumaku, everyone. It's a fantastic Friday afternoon in the city of Lagos. And everywhere you're listening to 99.3 Nigeria Info, and it's Public Square, and the square is open every fortnight with Ayo Obey, who comes in with ideas, and always a pleasure to have Ayo in here. And just at the cusp of what you call Super Saturday and Sunday, where you have the political parties having their conventions and their primaries, Ayo, great to have you join us in the square this afternoon.
Thank you so much for allowing me a little few minutes on your program.
And this afternoon we have a big interview of all of the drama about the delegates and the statutory delegates. A lot of talk around it. And we have, I understand, during the conversation, Patrick Ikerale, who is a former member of the House of Reps and a former commissioner in Edo State.
Yeah, Honorable Patrick Ikerale is, he is ordinarily he would have been a statutory delegate. So we're very glad to have you on the program, Honorable Patrick.
Please, welcome. I can hardly hear you. It's not loud enough.
I'm sorry. Welcome to the program, Honorable Patrick Ikerale.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah, now, one of the things, as I said on my tweet announcing this program, is that so many people, the discussion about delegates has all been about money, 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 and delegates all being committed to a particular candidate or another candidate, and so on. And I just want you to give us perhaps an idea of how delegates emerge in parties, because many party members are claiming that they have no idea how their delegates even emerge. Now, I know that you would have been a statutory delegate, but what do you know about the process by which elections as delegates take place?
Anyway, thank you. If I heard you clearly, you're saying that many party members are complaining that they do not know how their delegates emerge. Well, I know there are so many political parties in the media today, but I, to the best of my knowledge, I do know that the APC that I belong to, I'm a member of the APC, we had delegates at three different levels, elections. The ward level, the IGA, and state delegates. The people are elected to participate at local government elections. Some delegates are elected as state delegates that will take part in elections like House of Assembly and National Assembly. And you have people elected at the NGA level to represent the party at the national, which is the presidential primaries. So, by and large, every political party designs its own process. And I do know this time around the APC as a political party agreed on three elected delegates for the presidential, that is at the every local government. And that is why we are likely going to have three times the number of states and FCT as the delegate for this presidential election, because that is the process. At a lower level, you have five. Those are the ones that we vote for, the House of Assembly, House of Reps, and Senatorial. So, like I said earlier on, you have the LGA state and national delegates. So that is the process. As to whether the, what normally happens is that the political party will, through its internal mechanism, make announcements and put everybody membership on notice on social day. We are going to be having ward delegate election. and people present themselves for that election. And the, from that process, winners emerge.
Now, when they, can I just ask, when people present themselves for election, because at that time, obviously, all the aspirants are not known, but do they present themselves at, and say, if you vote for me as a delegate, I will be voting for aspirant A or aspirant B, either for the governorship, the senatorship, or even the presidency? Or do they just say, trust me and my judgment?
Ironically, like you rightly observe, at the point of conducting the delegate elections, you do not quite know who the candidates will be or who will emerge as the official flag bearer at any level. So it's a question of having, first of all, be convinced that you are a card-carrying member, you are a member of the party, a committed member of the party, from either that ward, the unit, or the LGA, as the case may be. Once that is met and you are popular enough and you are acceptable, the election can take any form. It could be consensus by the leaders, it could equally be by voting by the entire membership in the ward or the unit or the LGA. So it takes whatever forms that the leadership of the party agrees to.
So it's not just enough to say that, well, I'm a registered member of the party and the party should look for one, because, as I said, many party members don't seem to understand the process by which it's by which their own party selects its delegates.
No. If you're a member of the party, first you must make yourself available to attend party meetings.
Okay.
And the party, political party, is structured that you have the base. Is bottom up. The units, if you have units, you have wards before coming to local government. So if somebody does not participate in his units or ward meetings, he probably will not know the decisions that have been reached. But more often than not, those ward meetings will take place only after the state would have given directives to the respective local government on specific aspects of what the party's decision is going to be. And once that is done, meetings are held, discussions are had, and agreement reached, and people are put up for elections for that purposes. Like I said, it could take any form of direct or indirect at that level, depending on what the leadership of the party at that level agrees on. And once that is done, the person so elected now sees himself as either delegate at the local government elections, at the state elections, or national delegates.
Now, Honourable Patrick, do the delegates who emerge, do they hold discussions among themselves? Because we've seen many situations, not just in the APC and the People's Democratic Party, but also in other parties, where the some of the aspirants have gone to meet the delegates and in any particular state, and it's presented as though, all the delegates from this state are for candidate A, for aspirant A or aspirant B. And I wonder, how is it that we have a situation where the delegates, don't they have the right to think for themselves, or is it a matter of groupthink or direction or dictation by the powers that be, whatever that might be in inverted commas, in any state party structure?
Anyway, maybe the best form of answer I can give to you with this regard is like what is often said in elementary comments. Economists may say, if you are a seller, you have to make yourself available. You must let the people know what you are selling. If you do not do so, nobody will know whether you are selling anything or not. The quality of what you are selling lies on you to first of all tell the people. It is practically impossible to imagine that every delegate, will be whipped to line. In some cases, we do know, and that is why there has been this challenge over the period of time. Most people would defer to what the leadership structure is all about, particularly the way they emerged. And For statutory delegates, for instance, where you have people that have been voted for, either serving members or former members or political appointees, as the case may be, mm-hmm. it is not likely, it's not likely to be that in a state where you have 100 delegates that you'll be able to, like, you know, re-roll everybody into line to say it must be this or that. That is why it's democracy. As much as there is order of significance, as much as there is leadership, it is difficult or nearly impossible to have 100% rerouting of delegates from a particular state or even an entire local government. Yes, you could do that. There could be a reasonable percentage of people following the leadership structure. But along the line, there are still some people that will be independent-minded to some extent to say this is their preferred candidate. So it's a secret ballot.
It's a secret ballot.
Of course, yes, more often than not, it is. Even if it's a secret ballot. Yes, it is usually a secret ballot.
Although there may be some parties that have chosen to do it by queuing up behind their preferred aspirant.
The internal affairs of a party lies on the leadership of the party, mm-hmm. and not even the courts, except if it has to do with the constitutional issue relating to the organization of the party. So each party may decide the form and the nature and manner they want to, you know, carry out their primaries. But more often than not, and expectedly so, it's usually through secret ballot, proposed secret ballot.
Okay. Now, Honorable Patrick, I think we need to talk about cash. And because, as I said, it seems to have dominated the discourse as though it's the only matter that can secure the vote of a delegate. But if one is a delegate, an elected delegate, does one commit to a candidate and then expect cash, or does one collect cash from everywhere, or is this talk of cash a little bit overdone?
Well, you mentioned something that it seems that the issue of cash has dominated everywhere. First and foremost, you must have the understanding of what your leadership, of what you want. And democracy, the beauty of it is that it's a game of numbers. Mm-hmm. And if, well, the ones we are experiencing now, they have not gone for the primaries have not taken place. It is only when that has happened that one can look back to examine clearly whether or not cash played a role or not in the process.
But we've seen some aspirants going back and saying, well, people didn't vote for me. I want to collect back the cash or the cars or whatever it is that I gave to cover their expenses.
I think I read about that also, but it's in Kaduna also, where somebody was said to have, backed on
He did say that it was expected by the party that if you put money into somebody's expenses, then you could recover it if they didn't vote for you.
Anyway, it's difficult for me to sit in one place. I don't know. It's not possible for anybody to be everywhere, even during the primaries or what is going on right now. It's equally not very, very easy for me to say it is possible. It is not true, because people have come out clearly to say this is their experience. So who am I to debate or argue the experience they say they have? I'm not in a position to substantiate or decide or to say it is not true. So it's open to interpretation and open to anybody's imagination or thinking. But like I said, we are just maybe 72 hours behind the primaries of the major political parties now. So. Mm-hmm. When that's taking place, we will be, you as maybe journalists, you'll be in better position to know whether money plays or played a role in the process. But I think what it should be is that before people go into this thing, their minds must be relatively made up, irrespective of the disposition of cash.
Okay, now you said that your particular party had originally or had intended to have 3 elected delegates. But at that time, it was also expecting to have statutory delegates. Now, with the failure of the National Assembly or the President to sign the amendment to the Electoral Act, it looks as though all the statutory delegates are out.
Yes. Yeah. No green paper. That is of common knowledge as of today, mm-hmm. that it's quite novel. I don't think we've had it or we've seen it like this for whatever reason, or either for out of omission or commission, which led to that. I don't know if it's a deliberate error now or self-inflicted injury, that the principal people you would ordinarily refer to as statutory or super delegates are completely out. So those that are today qualified to be part of the process are those that were quote unquote in line with the description of the Electoral Act Section 84 sub 8, those that were democratically elected for the purpose of indirect primaries.
I mean, we hear about not changing the rules midway, but it's as though because the statutory delegates thought that they would be there and they would be there in numbers which would clearly outnumber the three or the few elected delegates, that they didn't contest for those elected positions because they expected to be delegates in any event.
No, if you're already a statutory delegate, it's given. So you didn't need to go into contestation of wanting to be a delegate in any of the
elected one.
Yes, in my party, in the APC, as a member of National Assembly or as former member of National Assembly, and that, you know, you are an automatic delegate. So it would have been, if you like, it would have amounted to displacing potential delegates by going to contestation to be a delegate, because you already won statutory. So, and that was the reason, I mean, the thinking of virtually everybody until the provision of the Electoral Act where under reference Section 84 sub 8 came into play, which, you know, technically, systematically, and legally eliminated the involvement of any other form of delegates other than those who contested for delegates
and were elected
during the primaries for delegate elections for the national election. That is why today, for the presidential election in APC, that's why today, given the position of the Electoral Act, it's only three delegates
per state
that we have per local government. And that's why I said earlier on, if you do that multiplication of 3 by 36 plus FCT, you can figure out the number of delegates that we are expecting at the presidential election under the APC.
Now, I'm afraid we only have a short time, so I also wanted to ask you, because we have seen that despite all the talk that has gone on about delegates, we have seen candidates trying to, or aspirants, I keep on calling them candidates, but we have seen aspirants trying to engage the delegates, to have meetings with them and discuss with them. And what impact do you think this is having on our democracy? Is it encouraging the delegates to assess each aspirant independently and vote as they see fit, or is it just going through the motions for our democracy?
Well, I'm not too sure if I got you right. Maybe I probably would give you this to say that I think we are not having without being modest, a robust delegate system would have given a much more larger representative or representation of people to be able to have a say in who becomes the candidate or the flag bearer of the party. Well, like we have said, times that number in the course of this discussion, the Electoral Act has limited that number to three that were elected for the purpose. That is because the party has chosen to go by way of indirect primaries. I'm sure if it were to be direct primaries, it would have been thrown open to every party member.
Yes.
But before now, the position used to be that you have statutory delegates and all that.
No, my question was that whether they are statutory or elected, has the process of having delegates, have the candidates been forced to engage with them on policies, or has it just been a matter of trying to support them to their side any which way they can?
I think much earlier, before the issue of the limitation came to the fore, all the delegates, candidates or aspirants for this level have really tried the best they could to reach out to the delegates in the respective states, moving from one state to the other. And now that, just like they often say, if a sickness changes form, your medication, you have to, you know, think of a fresh prescription. So every aspirant now has a, you know, changed the gear and making moves to interact and reach out to those that are statutory, I mean, that were elected, democratically elected delegates for this election. So basically, I think, yes, there must be one form of engagement. It may not be direct. It is not possible for one aspirant to visit the 36 states of the Federation again now, trying to meet with these three. So they must have deployed, which I know many have done, deployed agents of some sort who are committed to the cause. And they are reaching out, and that's politics about you have to convince people to do your bidding to vote for you. So we wait and see the outcome, how it plays out.
Well, as you said, the National Assembly, in trying to prescribe, had perhaps inflicted a wound, was given itself a self-inflicted wound, because many would say that a party should be able to say in its own constitution how it wants its candidates to emerge, and if it's a matter of delegates, who those delegates should be, rather than the Electoral Act saying who they cannot be. But
that's why they say Parliament can make turn a woman to a man or a man to a woman. That's the position of the law as it is today. Whatever misgivings we have about it or anybody has about it, we just have to deal with it and make the best out of the situation we find ourselves now. But I do know that ordinarily, the expectation would have been that as many people that are by definition falls within statutory and other forms of delegates,
who would have by then far outnumbered the elected delegates.
Yes, that's true. They certainly would have outnumbered the elected delegates. For instance, the APC would have had over 8,000 plus as a total number of delegates, but all that has been reduced to less than 2,500 or 2,400 as we speak today. And for PDP, which is just one per local government, is 774. Maybe if you add the FCT, I don't know, it'd be 775.
So it's going to be a really interesting. It will make people, I guess, pay more attention when at the party level, at the ward level, and really get involved. So I want to thank you, Honourable Patrick, so much for coming on to IDEAS, which, as you know, stands for Integrity, Democracy, Ethics, and Accountability. We've been talking a lot about democracy in today's program, but we've also looked at some of the issues of integrity and the ethics of the delegates. So thank you very much.
Thank you, my pleasure.
All right, there you had Honourable Patrick Sikarale, and interesting discussion we're going to have also when Rotimi comes in, where we'll be having a look at the so-called third force, if it will exist or not. Please stay with us on 99.3.